Hello and welcome to another episode of Healthy Minds. I'm Julie, your host, and I've got one of my favorite guests with me here today.
I'm Rowan Powell.
Who is my favorite guest, to be clear.
I mean, yes, clearly I am. I've been here a lot.
Yes. Can you remind us of your title and your new title?
Oh, I do have a new title. I'm the Transitional Age Youth Outreach Project Coordinator and the Training Specialist for On Our Own of Maryland.
Yay. Okay. So quick content warning, we are going to be talking about stress and anxiety and suicide today. So this is your content warning. If at any time you need any assistance, you can call 1-800-273-8255 or 1-800-273-TALK. That's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. So today we're talking all about back to school stress and anxiety and all that other fun stuff that comes with it. So I thought we would start off with some statistics. Yeah. So first and foremost, we talked about this way in the beginning of our podcast, but if you remember, we know that most mental health issues will kind of have onset, meaning that they appear about this time. And so I believe it's about 50% by age 14 and 75% by the age of like 21-ish. Different people say different things there. So that, again, if you're paying attention or you're not paying attention, that means that 3/4 of people that will experience a mental health issue do so kind of by the end of the college years. So that's why we're talking about it today. So let's talk about general statistics here. So when I teach abnormal psych at the other college, we talked about stress specifically, and I found this statistic that I wanted to share with you guys today, which is that 60% of college students have anxiety or depression.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
I think we talked about this earlier. I wonder if that is the actual number or a low or a high number.
Right. So, of course, statistics are not perfect, as we know. This was pulled from a survey where they surveyed the student body and looked at signs and symptoms. So it's likely, so one, that's self-report. So who knows if they're being truthful. And so basically what they found is that about 60% of the student body was meeting criteria for anxiety and depression. So it's not likely all of them were receiving treatment, as we know. And the numbers were actually 40-ish percent anxiety and 30% had depression. So if you're doing math, 40 and 30 don't equal 60.
No, they don't. And my limited math skills, I do know that.
So that's where we talk about co-occurring or comorbidity, meaning that you have both anxiety and depression, which is a fun little place to be. And we're going to have an episode all about that coming up as well. So more statistics, because why not?
Okay. We do like those.
We do. And then we'll get into more discussion. But we know that 1 in 5 college students said that they had thought about suicide within the last year. And so I don't mean that fleeting thought that pops into your brain. I'm talking about serious consideration of suicide or suicidal ideation. And then we have 1 in 10 college students have attempted suicide in the last year. So those numbers are so high. So when we talk about the general population, meaning college students as well, but 18 and up, the national average is about 1 in 20 adults are thinking about suicide at any given time. And then somewhere around 1 in 200 are attempting suicide. And so the numbers aren't perfect, of course, because it's all based on extrapolation again. Statistics. But 1 in 5 compared to 1 in 20, big difference. 1 in 10 compared to 1 in 200, huge difference. And so it's really important that we're examining why. Why is this group in particular struggling so much? And what can we do to help about that? So that's really what we're going to be unpacking a little bit today. So why? Why, Rowan? Why?
Well, I'm not sure I have the answers to all of those questions. I do wonder if this is a new thing or something that we're seeing more and more often now, especially that college is a more common thing. It used to be that you went to high school and that was your one place that you could get that school-based anxiety, but it's becoming more and more common to go to college. It's really an expectation at this point.
Especially here in Maryland.
Yes.
You know, it's a little different when you get out west into some of the rural areas. But here, for sure, it's basically expected. I'm trying to think back to my high school days when there was no like, oh, you could also try this, right? It was just mm-hmm. like, all right, so what college are you going to?
That was the same for me. I know growing up, my mother mm-hmm. is the first person in her family mm-hmm. to get a degree. And she loved college, so now she has two masters. And so there was no question of, what do you want to do when you grow up, Rowan? It was a, which college are you going to? How much are you going to get in scholarships?
Yeah.
And I know for me, college was the only option, but it was not the best option.
Right.
I went for 1 year, mm-hmm. had a complete breakdown, mm-hmm. and then went home.
Yeah.
And I've been working since then, and I think I'm doing pretty okay.
You are doing pretty okay.
That's what I like to tell myself. But college was so stressful.
Yeah.
And I went to a private school mm-hmm. that was supposed to prepare me for college, mm-hmm. and it was still mm-hmm. incredibly stressful.
Yeah. So just in case you're listening along and you're like, right. So I also struggled mm-hmm. my first year that I went to college. I went to a really small college. Mm-hmm. There was only 2,000 people. I was several hours away from home. Mm-hmm. I knew nobody. Very scary. I didn't agree. So I loved the school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love the people at the school. I don't like roommates, which we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, people.
People, man.
In your space.
I'm just kidding. I mostly love people. I just don't want them attached to me for hours and hours on end.
Mm-hmm.
And I like being able to retreat into my own space, which is not possible if you're sharing a concrete block
mm-hmm.
with another human being you've never met before.
And there are all of these expectations on college students. Mm-hmm. Get A's in all of your classes, which how many classes do you normally take in college? It's been a while. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
So let's see, 120 credits to graduate. So theoretically, you have about 40 classes that you take total through your college career.
Ugh. My facial expression is really great right now. But that's a lot of stress. And then there's the added extracurriculars.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to get a good job, you have to have those.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also applied to high school students as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting into college is so much harder than it used to be. Mm-hmm. Well, now you need really right. good grades along with doing another million things on the side mm-hmm. to prove that you can handle college.
Yep, and the SAT.
Yeah, that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did that. I remember that now.
Yeah, I know. Flashbacks, right?
Thank you for reminding me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I have a donut for later, if that makes it better.
Oh, that does.
But yeah, there's a lot of pressure on high school students, you know, to get to college, even mm-hmm. though it's an expectation. And, you know, you have wonderful ways to get into college, like community college.
Mm-hmm.
Go Howard County Community College. But we do have a lot of expectations, and it can be really difficult.
And at that age, you don't necessarily know how to take care of yourself.
Uh-uh.
So you don't know, okay, what do I do when I'm feeling super stressed?
Mm-hmm.
How do I manage that? Mm-hmm. Is this anxiety or is this stress?
Right.
How do I deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, especially if you come from a family that doesn't have the privilege of knowing about mm-hmm. mental health disorders.
Right. I would also say that not only maybe do you not know, you've never had to know because high school is so structured.
Mm-hmm.
Your time out of high school is typically fairly structured.
Yeah.
And you enter college and you're like, I'm an adult. Crap. what do I do now? And so you're like sitting there like, I'm going to eat Pop-Tarts for every meal. And then mm-hmm. you're like, oh, hey, wait, now I feel like crap. And I've gained a lot of weight and mm-hmm. I don't like the way I look. And then, you know, blah, 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 and you're snowballing because you just like Pop-Tarts, darn it. This is not a personal story at all.
No, not at all. For me, it was mac and cheese. But there's also no one telling you
right
when to do things.
Right.
I know that my schedule went out the door when I went to college.
Mm-hmm.
What was sleep? It was only during the daytime. That's all I really knew.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So along that, like, you know, yeah, you signed up for classes,
mm-hmm.
but are you going to go?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I want to clarify that I'm still in school now. I'm working on my doctorate.
So fancy.
I know. And I teach a lot, but at a community college as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on the other way, too. I can confidently tell you that professors also a little bit dread the first day of school.
Mm-hmm.
We also have some anxiety around planning stuff because mm-hmm. not all our students are nice. Sometimes they're mean to us.
This is true.
And it's mm-hmm. it's a little sad. Mm-hmm. I'm a human being too. Okay.
Yes. Yes, you are.
But, you know, it's really entertaining to look at the whole thing from bird's eye view. You're like, you got all these anxious students sitting mm-hmm. in class. Your professor's probably secretly a hot mess as well, mm-hmm. or not so secretly. And, you know, everybody's just anxious about the same stuff, and it's kind of ridiculous. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. College is weird, man.
I think we also hype it up a lot mm-hmm. as to, like, college is the best time of your life. It's when you're going to meet all these amazing people. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a great time. Mm-hmm. And then when you don't, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, yeah. I have failed on so many levels now.
Failed, yeah. mm-hmm. I like what you said about the scholarships and, like, expectations and stuff about mm-hmm. high school students. I thought we'd, like, dial back to that a yeah. little bit. So I recently spoke at a high school mm-hmm. and it was high school students that were putting this on, and it was about suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. And so they asked me to come be on the panel. I met these high school students and I was like, oh, dear Lord. Like, it's not been that long. Mm-hmm. It hasn't. I keep telling myself that. Eventually I got to give it up. But it hasn't been that long since I've been in high school. But they were in, like, a totally different stress zone than I was in high school. Yeah. And I don't know if that was, I just didn't care as much. or, like, my parents weren't pushing me as hard mm-hmm. or, you know, or if this is what high school looks like nowadays. So I've started asking mm-hmm. my students because I'm just really curious to know. Yeah. And it seems like there is more stress and pressure.
I fully agree with that. I have a sister that is 10 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. So she is 15. I can do math. And watching her go through school has been a drastically different experience than mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah.
She's been taking French since she was in pre-K. She took physics over the summer as a freshman in high school. I didn't take physics. I was supposed to take it as a senior, but I instead took ornithology and ecology of the bay because I went to a hippie school.
I was going to say, what
I don't
the
like
heck?
Math.
I want to do that.
It was my option. But all of these things that I did at an older age are mm-hmm. being tossed at her when she's only 15.
Right.
She took algebra.
So was she a sophomore? She a junior?
She's a freshman this
she's
year.
A freshman this year.
She has a late birthday. So
darn late birthdays. They're just yep. not ready for school.
Exactly. But it's just watching the pressure on her yeah. of, like, you have to do a sport, you have to get all these scholarships. Mm. She's still a baby.
I mean, everybody's secretly a baby, in my opinion. Like, you yes. talk to full-grown mm-hmm. four-year-old people, and they're still yes. a baby.
But she's, like,
extra baby.
Yeah, extra baby. It's just watching all of this stress yeah. on her and seeing the effect that has
yes.
on her.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. And I thought high school was stressful for me.
Right. So this group was like a specific leadership group or whatever. And I met with them and I remember chatting with them a little bit. And first they were taken aback that I was asking about their like stress levels mm-hmm. and emotions and stuff. Cause I was like, oh, so like talk to me, like what's going on? I was there mm-hmm. early. So we were chatting a little bit and they were like bullet point their highlights. And I was like, I mean, cool, but I don't mm-hmm. really care if you're the blah, 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 the grand poomba of something, you know. I want to know more about, like, what do you like to do? Like, what's going on? What mm-hmm. do you do in your free time? And the one girl started laughing. And I was like, uh-oh. But she's like, well, on the 1 hour I get a month. And I was like, haha. And she was like, no.
Yeah.
The 1 hour I get a month. I was mm-hmm. like, uh-oh. So she told me she's sleeping, like, 4 hours a night in order to get all her homework done. And then she's in, like, 2 extracurricular things and yep. also volunteers with the whatever and the whatever. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I thought I had a lot going on working 20 hours a week or whatever and school and, like, 1 extracurricular, mm-hmm. you know, which is a lot. And we don't want to discount that either for people that aren't maybe doing all the 50,000 things.
Yeah.
It's just stressful enough to be in high school. It's a crappy mm-hmm. place to be.
It truly is.
But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's interesting and I don't really have the answer. But, you know, we recognize that there's all this pressure. You're in a little pressure cooker of high school. Mm-hmm. And then essentially you're like thrown into college with no real prep.
I mean, the prep is we're going to teach you what grammar is.
Yes.
And we're going to teach you all of this math that if you're a math major, you're going to use.
Well, you do have to take at least 1 math in college.
Yeah, that's why I didn't finish. Because math. But there's no, like, real prep. I met girls. I went to an all-female college. Mm. I met girls who didn't know how to do their laundry.
Yep.
And girls that just didn't know basic life skills.
Yes.
And I don't know why we push children into this. Mm-hmm. And then there's the fact of, like, choose what you want to do for the rest of your life.
But choose correctly.
But choose correctly and do it right now.
Yes. No pressure.
Yeah. No pressure.
None.
Decision right now.
Yeah. So I was laughing that you said your mom had 2 master's degrees.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like a classic thing that's happening nowadays is that mm-hmm. people are going back more and more, let alone the student debt. That's a thing mm-hmm. we can do a whole bajillion yep. episodes mm-hmm. about those.
Yep.
But student debt, also a stressor. But mm-hmm. I think that we're pushing too fast for people to get into school
yeah.
and not pushing maybe the right things. Like, yeah, maybe go and do your gen eds.
Mm-hmm.
Get them knocked out.
And then wait to decide.
Then wait to yeah. really, and like do some samplings of some of the other classes. So, you know, even if you're really convinced that math is your calling,
mm-hmm.
You know, go check out a psychology class. Go mm-hmm. look at, you know, ornithology. Go look at, you know, a physical therapy class. Like, go check out cooking. Because you just don't mm-hmm. know sometimes if you haven't been exposed to it, if that's going to speak to your... to yourself there.
I mean, I went to college with the full anticipation that I was going to get my bachelor's in social work,
uh-huh.
get my master's, get my LCSWC,
uh-huh.
be just like my mother.
Uh-huh.
And then after leaving college and doing a couple of very one-on-one social worky mm-hmm. flavored jobs, I realized that I hated it. I hated clinical work. Why would I decide to go down that path if it just didn't work for me?
Right.
I didn't know at that point that what I really loved was nonprofit management,
mm-hmm.
was running and coordinating a program.
Right.
I didn't know that then.
Yes.
Because I was...
You were a baby.
I was 18, I think.
You were a baby.
That's the age. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know that at that age.
Yeah, you don't. Something that the college I teach at has been pushing is service learning, which is mm-hmm. really neat. So I'm going to try to incorporate it when I teach a full semester class. I have a lot of baby classes that are like 8 weeks coming up, which are a whole other ballgame.
Love we'll and hate those.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But I love it because it's going to give them real world experience at a lower stake because I teach yeah. 100 and 200 level classes at the community mm-hmm. college in psychology. So maybe somebody that is thinking about being a nurse because they have to take developmental psychology as well. Mm-hmm. They go check out, my plan is to go to an assisted living place and we're going to mm-hmm. like do some activities with the older folks, you know?
Yeah.
And then they can interact with people and decide if they like people or not. And it's okay if you don't. I mean, I joke that I don't, but obviously I do because of my work, but I also don't sometimes and that's fine.
Yep.
And for my abnormal class, we're going to go to a day program and also teach a class to folks with severe mental health issues. And yeah. that'll be eye-opening for a lot of people because mm-hmm. my plan was to work with people with mental health issues. I did so mm-hmm. for many years.
Yes, you did.
And then now I'm on the preventative side because I realized, kind of like you, that mm-hmm. yes, I can do the one-on-one or the small group stuff, but mm-hmm. I really love talking about mental health on a like bigger scales, on the macro level.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of what you're telling me too.
Yeah, I didn't realize until I had the exposure to it that what I really like is that macro work and yes. I like policy.
Yes.
But I couldn't have learned that no. in high school
or even college. No. They don't really tell you about those kind of jobs. They're just going to tell you about certain things there. So mm-hmm. explore what you can do with whatever degree you're picking. And just a shameless plug, psychology will get you almost anywhere because it's pretty versatile.
It really will.
And so if you're stuck, why not psychology? You got to figure out how people work. It's likely you'll work with people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about sleep.
Well, I like sleep. I'm not sure I'm very good at it,
yeah.
but I do like it a lot.
Do you sleep 7 to 9 hours a night?
That's a great question.
Okay.
Whenever I've worn like a Fitbit, it tells me that I sleep 3 hours a night.
Oh, dear.
So I don't know if it's lying.
I would assume so.
It's lying. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for you guys mm-hmm. listening here, which I'm assuming is a lot of college students mm-hmm. on the younger side, maybe in between the, like, I don't know, 16 to 25-ish year range. The amount of sleep you're supposed to get is somewhere between 7 to 10 hours, more likely on the higher end. So you're supposed to be getting, I would say, 9 hours of sleep a night. So if you're also giggling like Rowan is right now, take a moment and think about that. So you're still growing in your brain. We've talked about this a whole bunch. It's important that you sleep to let your brain recover
mm-hmm.
and, you know, to rest. Goodness gracious.
Like, what is that?
Right. What is rest? And the time you go to sleep matters, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this really fun thing, not so fun thing. I don't know why I'm calling it fun. There is a not so fun thing called sleep debt.
Yeah, I just learned about this today and I 10 out of 10 do not like.
So sleep debt is where you're not getting enough sleep and you feel crummy. Okay. And you actually can't pay back this debt.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. So essentially every time that you don't get enough sleep, you're just like adding, you're damaging yourself. Isn't that great? It really comforts me when I'm trying to fall asleep to remember about sleep debt and how I'm ruining my body by not sleeping. A little dramatic. So what happens with sleep debt? Good question, Rowan.
Thank you. I was about to ask it, but thank you for asking it for me.
Decreased levels of alertness. I think that makes sense.
Oh,
we're
sleepy.
Mm-hmm. We're not functioning on our best...
our peak level.
Yes, thank you for... See, look, I did not get enough sleep last night. Okay. Mm-hmm. Our mental efficiency is just down.
Mm-hmm.
We are not good at thinking. It causes depression-like symptoms.
Interesting.
Right? Because I wonder, now looking at this anxiety and depression, mm-hmm. how much of this is because y'all aren't sleeping?
Yep. How much of it is actual clinical depression?
Right.
And how much of it is someone didn't go to bed? And by someone, I mean... college age Rowan.
Yeah. Or college age, whoever's listening, right? Julie as well. Mm-hmm. Increased blood pressure. So you feel like your heart's pounding, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe your eye gets twitchy. That's a personal thing. My eye twitches when I don't get enough sleep. Maybe you just kind of feel jittery in general.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you stupidly reach for caffeine when you're really tired and you already are feeling pretty anxious?
My fast juice? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dear God. So that's, I know it's not fun to hear this, but don't do that because you're making your nervous system like already panicking, go into overdrive, and that does damage to your body as well.
Have you seen the memes of like, yep, that's
Sarah Scribbles?
Me. Yep, that's me.
Sarah Scribbles is a great comic. Mm-hmm. You guys should go check it out. There's a really funny one that's like, I'm tired, I'm going to drink coffee, and then it just ramps up the anxiety. Very true. Increased levels of stress hormones. I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Your immune system is in the toilet. Yep. You're more likely to get sick, especially if you drink out of other people's cups.
I would like to clarify that was dwarven mead, so it was a necessity.
Alcohol does not kill all the germs either. I just want to clarify that in case you're running around there thinking you're pretty smart. No personal call out there, Rowan. So anyway, your immune system. So like people that are really stressed are also more likely to get sick, physically sick.
That makes sense. That checks out. I can, the number of times that I've gotten sick when I've been stressed and just thought, I am so stressed that I am making myself physically ill.
You are, yes.
It's a talent.
I don't know about that, but it's a fancy subfield, psychoneuroimmunology.
That is fancy.
Yes. So there's all these people that study just like, let's stress this person out and see if they get sick kind of thing, which is pretty entertaining. But your immune system is just not functioning as well as it normally does. And sorry, taking emergency or drinking a lot of orange juice does not compensate. You do need to regulate your stress levels. Though vitamins are good and you should take them. They're just also not going to fix you. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then finally, I found this really interesting. They have looked at sleep deprivation or like loss of sleep, and they said that it has the same effect on you mentally as being intoxicated, if not more. Sleep is worse than intoxication, essentially.
That makes sense to me. Story time.
Yeah.
In college, I was driving to visit family, and I got pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
The cop thought I was drunk.
Mm.
I was not drunk. Mm. I was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
It was, for all your theater people, it was tech week. So sleep was just not happening.
Yeah.
And I had to convince this cop that I was not intoxicated.
Yeah.
That I was just very, very tired.
Yes.
And he scolded me and told me to take a nap.
Yeah.
In a very Southern accent. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'll envision
I can later. Confirm this.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, there's a lot of information out there about the impact of loss of sleep. And I would encourage all of you that are listening, yes, you, the person ignoring me, to start practicing better sleep hygiene. Mm-hmm. And so my favorite tip to share with people that makes mm-hmm. them really mad is that you should have a bedtime and, you know, your wake up time mm-hmm. and they should be the same. Like, you should not be messing with it on the weekend because mm-hmm. sleeping in actually does not make up the sleep debt. It makes you feel worse. Mm-hmm. So I want you to think about that the next time you're sleeping in until 2 p.m. on the weekend. Mm-hmm. When you wake up, you normally feel pretty crummy, like kind of groggy. It's really rare that you're going to be, you know, feeling good after that. So if you go to bed at 11 every night, you need to stay at about 11. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, waking up at, like, let's say 8 or 9 in the morning, good, because you're getting your full hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. But this means that you can't change your schedule for work, for school, or for the weekend. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes either way is the best practice. Yeah. So if you want to sleep in, you get an extra 30 whole minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fancy.
You guys all know to turn off your phone, searing your eyeballs. TV in the bedroom also is a no-no. Sorry, I know a lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. Caffeine and exercise should be before 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. Rowan's making a lot of faces here. Hard truths. So I know you don't maybe believe me, but I promise you it's true. And you will feel better, you know, if you try to practice these. I realize it's not going to be 100%. I'm certainly not at 100% myself. Mm-hmm. But ever since teaching the material, I really feel like I should be practicing what I'm teaching. So mm-hmm. I've been trying harder to do better on sleep. And I feel I wake up without an alarm now.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but kind of nice.
It's a weird adult thing that you develop at some point.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about stress a lot. I just want to give you a couple mm-hmm. of guidelines to improve your stress.
Yep.
So one, understand how you're stressing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, recognize that you are stressed.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? Do you clench your teeth? Does your eyeball twitch? Mm-hmm. Do you drop everything all over the place? Do you pound caffeine? Whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you've recognized you're stressed. Okay. Good job. You've done
it. Thank you.
Yep. You need to figure out why you're stressed.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes people will quickly blame the obvious, but you might need to dig deep and do a little soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to, like, learn the warning signs of your stress. So mm-hmm. I know that when I'm stressed, I start to do weird things with my hands. Like, I, like, kind of, like, squish my fingers a little bit mm-hmm. or, like, pick at my nails or something, or I fidget too much. So that's, to me, that I'm like, oh, haha. Mindfulness check-in. Let's, like, see what's going on. Why am I stressed? Can I control it? Yes, no. Mm-hmm. And knowing that I can't control it is actually pretty relieving for me.
Yeah.
For you, too? Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm like, well, I can't do anything about it, so why stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we want you to figure out how you deal with stress.
Yes.
Probably not positively, and that's okay, because mm-hmm. you're learning. Nobody told you how.
Yeah, exactly. Figuring it out is the first key there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then obviously try to replace it with healthier things.
Yes.
If possible. So, yes, you're stressed and you want to get stuff done. Caffeine doesn't help with that. Sorry.
Neither does Taco Bell.
Taco Bell in moderation is fine, I think. And so then essentially we want you to do prevention
mm-hmm.
to take care of yourself when you're stressed. So you're sitting there squishing your fingers, your eyes twitching. You've got mm-hmm. a paper due tomorrow. Probably plan your paper writing a little earlier. I know you don't want to hear that either.
Mm-hmm.
But time management's important because that'll alleviate a lot of your stress there and getting good sleep. Okay, so this was a very rambly message today about, hi, we see you, stressed little babies running yes. around college. And the best thing you can do for yourself is get enough sleep.
Yeah, it really is.
And then, of course, recognizing your stress, mm-hmm. I would say. Those are the two takeaways I've got today. We didn't talk about school-based anxiety, so I'm just going to, like, quickly plug really mm-hmm. fast that sometimes anxiety manifests physically. So yes. you, like, get sick to your stomach. You mm-hmm. feel like you have a headache. You maybe mm-hmm. get fever symptoms. There's a lot of stuff that way. That also mm-hmm. can be anxiety. And so you want to check that out as well and say, am I sick? Am I making myself sick?
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of check that out as well. Okay. Self-care send-off. What tips are we giving? I'm going to say eat a donut.
That's just because you have donuts.
It is.
I'm personally, I think mine is cook yourself a nice meal. Cook yourself something that makes you happy and then have a donut.
Yes. All things in moderation. Mm-hmm. Every Monday I get myself donuts. I know that sounds silly, but it's just something for me to perk myself out of bed, darn it, and get ready for my week. So you heard it from Julie. Eat a donut.
Eat a donut.
Thank you all for listening.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.